I think all of us at one time or another have known someone who lives such a regimented life that there is no room for error. Everything has to go strictly by the letter of the law. There is not only no room for error, but no room for any kind of deviation. There is no tolerance for anything to be out of place. For everything has its place, and there is a place for everything. Any task must follow ordered instructions to the very last detail. Life is governed by the clock. Every second, every minute, every hour seems to be scheduled, or else the person ends up having a nervous breakdown. Perfection is not just a goal, but a way of life. People who fall into this category perhaps can accomplish a great deal. But the downside is that they can be disastrous to live with, work with, or even socialize with. To say the least, they would have a difficult time with my chaotic, disordered life as much as I would have a difficult time with their ordered, inflexible lifestyle. That would be like mixing oil with water. Not a good situation at all, even though that is just what I may need at times. In a very real way, this is the kind of situation in which the early church found itself. It was involved in a struggle between those who thought Christianity to be a reform movement within Judaism, centered and controlled by the strict letter of the Mosaic laws, and those who believed Christianity was the new covenant between God and mankind, a new revelation of God, which was governed by love. Two different opinions. The apostles were divided, especially with the pressure of the church in Jerusalem, demanding that a Christian or a follower of Christ must be a Jew. This was a major disagreement and a defining time for the Jesus movement, the early church. To have it as a reform movement within Judaism would severely curtail the evangelical mission to the Gentile world. It would be limited to just a small group of people and would deny some of the most basic teachings of Jesus. Jesus did not require being a Jew to be a prerequisite to believing in him. Nor did he place the law as the center of a relationship with God. The Mosaic laws were no longer the basis of God's covenant with his people. There was a new covenant based upon God's grace as seen through the revelation of Jesus. Now, this was a departure from the tradition of these early followers of Jesus. After all, they were Jews and had been brought up under the edict of the law, the Pharisaic traditions. Their lives were law-centered, and God's love was determined by his judgment as to living the letter of the law. To minimize the law in favor of grace was quite an adjustment and a change which was not to come very easily. After all, it is so much easier to have what you should do and what you should not do spelled out for you. But to live by eternal rules, external rules, takes away any motivation of true inner spirit. The early church was and is not alone in this struggle of defining what motivates the Christian. We still have the battle between law and gospel today. We still want, and in some instances need, external law to determine the core values of our lives. It's so much easier to fulfill the requirements than to rely on being motivated out of love, being motivated out of the gospel. To be gospel-centered demands total life commitment and the giving of ourselves to the world in which we live. To be gospel-centered and motivated is to be governed by God's love, which in turn becomes the love which occupies our every moment of being. That is far more demanding of our lives than that of following external edicts set down by rules and laws. Even being separated by hundreds of centuries, we still struggle with the law and gospel. We still like to see our salvation through the fulfillment of external requirements. We still like to believe in a Santa Claus who keeps his judgment book, in which we find forgiveness and acceptance through compensatory acts, acts of penance, or acts of good deeds. It is so much more difficult, but yet far more rewarding, to be motivated out of love. The reward comes in the joy of giving without the expectation of receiving. Now, the early church, the disciples, needed a new convert who never was in the presence of the physical Jesus. They needed this new convert in order to bring clarity to law and gospel. It was Paul. Paul, who was given the revelation that Jesus' message had come to fulfill the law. The strange thing is that Paul was probably the most devout and zealous Jew among the early followers. He was of the Pharisaic tradition and persecuted those who had followed this Jesus, this Jewish heretic, the heretic Jesus. But it was Paul who led the Jesus movement away from Judaism into a new religion. He put his life on the line for being that voice of the new covenant with God, and he suffered imprisonment because of it. In his letter to the Romans, he clearly makes his case as to what is important in this new covenant, and it certainly was not the law. He writes that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Nothing about law there. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He then clarifies the center of importance of this confession. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Nothing about wall there. Clearly, he says that the center of the following of this Christ is to have the very center of life's motivation, the heart, totally embraced by the belief in the message of the resurrected Christ. This message is the fulfillment of all law, for it is centered upon God's love and forgiveness. You know, it is not we who initiates this relationship with God, but it is through his grace, as extended to us in the incarnation, the cross, and resurrection, that we are free, forgiven, and given salvation. It is up to us to either accept or reject this. Paul clearly presents his case for the gospel centered earlier in Romans. But now, righteousness from God, apart from the law, had been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's his gift to us, freely given. Paul clearly states that there is no-win situation in the law, for there is no way that mankind can escape the reality of sin. Law in and of itself is merciless and insurmountable. The bond of the law always holds forth the act of condemnation, and in and of itself is unforgiving. Think about it. The law, as Paul states, is being estranged from God and brings no righteousness, no determining relationship with God. The righteousness of God, our relationship with God, comes only when and through faith we let the belief in Jesus Christ govern our very being. That is when we experience that relationship with God. This does not come through our initiative to follow the law, but comes because God so desires this relationship with us. He desires the relationship with us. This is his grace. Think about that. His love is so great. Even though we're sinful, he desires a relationship with us. You know, throughout our Lent, we need to spend the time in examining who we are, as to how we live and what motivates us. It is that time to not only recognize our failures, to live up to the gospel of God's love, but it is to understand that we are not perfection. None of us are. This will lead us to the point of the realization of how important God's grace is. It is there, always to forgive us, Forgive us of all of our shortcomings and ill-conceived thoughts and acts. That's the good news. We need not browbeat ourselves because we are not that perfect human being that has no flaws. Our imperfections are overcome by God's perfect love for us. If we come to this understanding, then the empty tomb and the message of He is risen will bring relief and joy to our lives. For we are free and forgiven under God's love, His grace that is extended to us freely. What a beautiful message. What a beautiful message. Amen.